Let's just give it two more seconds.
Got it. I was just kicking people out of my office. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. I would like to call to order this CROG Policy Board meeting on December 20th, 2023. The time is 12:04 p.m., and Laura's given me a thumbs up that we're good to go with attendance. And so I will open it up for public comment section of the meeting. Is anyone here for public comment today? Asking once. Again, public comment. Anyone here asking twice and a third time? Not hearing anyone, I will close the public comment section of the meeting and move into approval of the minutes from the November 16th, 2023 meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Madam
Moved
Chair.
moved
Go
by
ahead,
Mr.
John.
Edmund and a second by who?
Lori Spielman.
Thank you, Lori. Any questions or comments on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of accepting them, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. We're going to move the action items to the front of the agenda today. So we're going to start off with action item number seven, which is the appointment of the policy board officers and the executive committee. And I will turn this over to Mr. Coleman.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The nominating committee, it's already been sent out to you. We sort of met virtually. In terms of our recommendations, all of the officers except the treasurer, who did not run for re-election, graciously agreed to continue serving. And we were able to recruit Ken Lesser, the new mayor of Wethersfield, to join the officers as treasurer, and we greatly appreciate that. And he's looking forward to joining the officers and performing the role of treasurer. And on the for the executive committee, recognizing that there were a significant number of changes in chief elected officials and membership on the policy board, and therefore the executive committee, we maintain the same split on the distribution of the member towns so that we had a good balance between east and west, small and large, rural and we think that's the best going forward. So we'll have a combination of a couple of new members and some seasoned members on the executive committee. I think you've all got it, but I can quickly run through the formal appointments. For chairperson, Mayor Stewart from New Britain. For vice chair, Mayor Cantor from West Hartford. Second vice chair, first select person, Lori Spielman from Ellington. Secretary, first selectman, Jason Boswell from East Windsor, and treasurer, Ken Lesser, mayor of Wethersfield and then the towns. On the executive committee, therefore, their chief elected officials or their alternates will serve on the executive committee are Bloomfield, Bolton, Columbia, Coventry, East Hartford, East Windsor, Ellington, Farmington, Hartford, which has two additional members by the charter of the CROG, Manchester, Marlborough, New Britain, Newington, Simsbury, Southington, Tallinn, West Hartford, Wethersfield, and Windsor. Madam Chair, I would so move the recommendation of the nominating committee for the officers and the executive committee.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it. It's Wendy Maxudis Simsbury.
Thank you, Wendy. Any questions or comments on this? Sorry, I'm trying to see if I see anybody's hand. I don't see anybody. I'll just make a quick comment here. It's been a pleasure. I hope that you'll allow me to continue being your chairperson. I hope everybody appreciates my promptness and impatience at times, but hopefully that's just to keep everything moving. I've really enjoyed being chairperson of the Capital Region Council of Governments, and I hope you'll allow me the opportunity to continue. Any other comments? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anybody, anyone opposed? I'll find you if you're opposed. Just kidding. Motion carried. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. We have a great slate of officers that dedicate a lot of time and expertise to serving in these capacities. And I'm really appreciative of Sherry, Lori, Jason, and Ken. Ken, thanks. I'm looking forward to getting to know you too. So thank you, everyone. Action item number 8, it's the resolution to approve the EZ ICQ general contractor for the Northeast region. Kim, I will turn this over to you.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So CROG went out to rebid for the Northeast region for general contractor services at the end of November. We held our public bid opening December 12th, and the lowest responsible bidder was Millennium Builders. So before you today is a resolution requesting authorization to award the Northeast region for general construction to Millennium Builders. I'm happy to take questions.
Great. Any questions for Kim? Do I have a motion? I'm sorry.
I would so move, Madam Chair.
Thank you, John.
I'll second, Lori Spielman.
Thanks, Lori. Again, any questions or comments regarding this? As someone who's currently working with Millennium Builders on a massive public works yard project, I just want to say that they've been really wonderful to work with, and we've been pretty pleased with them. So all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. With that being said, we will move on to TIP amendments. Hold on, sorry. Yes, John.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a fairly straightforward TIP amendment for, in Simsbury to construct a multi-use path from Route 10 and 202 Hot Metal Street over to Curtis Park, which is a very heavily used recreational park, particularly for soccer and other organized sports in Simsbury. It has been approved unanimously by the Transportation Committee. The Transportation Committee recommends approval by the Policy Board acting as the MPO, and I would so move.
Thank you. Do I have a second on that? Wendy, perhaps?
Yeah, Wendy will second that.
Great. Any questions or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. At this time, those are our action items. Check those off the list today. We're going to go into open up the floor to Advance CT. Lisa is with us. And just so everybody knows, I'm going to kind of fade into the background and let Lori take it away because I've got 10 minutes till I have to go. So I'll listen in until I have to leave. So Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Congratulations on your re-election as our chair.
Thank you. I'm very honored. Looking forward to continuing to give Matt help. Just kidding.
I need it. So very pleased to welcome Lisa from Advance CT, Lisa Mercurio, good friend of CROG. And we're excited to hear what you've been up to, Lisa. The floor is yours.
Great. No, thank you very much and appreciate it. And I realize it is a very hectic time of year. So thank you for taking the time to hear the updates from us. I do have a presentation. I don't know if that is helpful at this point. Okay, so I will share my screen. I'm thinking that I can share, yes.
Laura, she should be good, right?
Great.
Yep.
Perfect. Question is, can I do it? Great. Perfect. So very quickly, I don't know how many of us are familiar with us in our current sort of incarnation. We started with the CSRC, our predecessor organization, and continued many of the same programs and services, but really did shift our focus with the most recent incoming administration. This has been a priority for Governor Lamont and his team. And it really has been an understanding that there was additional capacity in the organization to really work with businesses to both attract them to Connecticut, as well as assist them in growth and expansion, and to really pay attention to the retention topic. So if you all recall, this was about the time that GE had made their announcements, and there were several sort of negative press stories that left us wanting to dig deeper into seeing what we could do to represent the businesses so that they knew that they had a true partner in the state and that they were able to tap into the resources available to them. So we are, in terms of our structure, a private nonprofit. We are funded in part by the state through the Department of Economic and Community Development, under 50%. And then the balance is through the private sector. So we are served by a board of both private and public sector officials. So represented from the private side would be Synchrony and Webster Bank, corporations such as Stanley Black & Decker, Amphenol, Otis, and a wide variety of others, along with the Commissioner of Department of Economic and Community Development. So that's just a quick overview. Economic development to all of you is really nothing new. But what I would want to highlight here is that in our existence in this forum for the last 3 years, we have worked with what we call Team Connecticut, which is all of you, as well as the various agencies and organizations that assist businesses in the state, to create more than 12,600 jobs and resulting in over $2 billion in capital investment over the last 3 years. So how we work. So as an organization, we do not have funding and we do not have grants or capital assistance that we provide. However, being a small state, there are very numerous organizations that assist business at various stages from startup to corporate headquarters. We work to make sure we are engaged with all of these organizations and with councils of government included, as well as workforce development boards and agencies throughout the state. So as we work with companies, we will assess what might help them or what is hindering them, and then connect with the various entities throughout the state to work with them and through that journey. So we promote the state of Connecticut, really depending on the audiences that we are working with. So at the highest of levels, we are promoting Connecticut to site selectors and to real estate decision makers globally. We host site selector tours. We participate in trade shows that highlight Connecticut and our industries throughout the U.S. and throughout Europe and beyond. Notably would be Farnborough and the Paris Air Show that represents the aerospace industry, which you are all very familiar with in your region, as well as bio life sciences, which is also very prevalent in your region as well. And then there are the general sort of site selector organizations that we want to get in front of. Connecticut has a fantastic story, which I know is not new to you, but has been new to outside of our boundaries. And so we've been able to, through our marketing and research teams, pull together stories that show Connecticut in a new light. And for an example, the Economic Development Magazine, we had applied for some projects we had assisted in working with, and their response back to us was, we've actually never had an application from the state of Connecticut. So we are here to both work on these projects as well as collaborate on these projects. So as all of you are listening to me, I'm hoping that you will reach out to us with any questions you might have or projects you have that you want to accelerate or amplify or enhance. And we can assist in getting that word out on the very macro level. And then promoting the state of Connecticut within the state, my role is to work with Connecticut businesses exclusively. So it is finding out what they need to succeed and grow here. And that is either connecting them to state incentives, if that's appropriate, to additional resources, whether they be business technical services, workforce development, we will work with them directly on, as and a variety of industry specific resources they might need. I'll pause. I don't know if anyone has any questions, just because I know I'm speaking rapidly. But if not, I will continue. So this is sort of how we break ourselves apart. We're a team of about 20 and have these four teams focused on the various areas that I have mentioned, both on the business attraction side, that's the recruiting and working with site selectors to make Connecticut a top destination that they should be considering, as well as research. That really looks at our rankings and amasses the data that we need to help sell Connecticut to these prospective companies, as well as to businesses that are here, so that they're understanding what is available to them in Connecticut as they're exploring potentially expansion elsewhere. Business retention, as I mentioned, consists of a variety of different aspects. It is meeting with businesses face-to-face, it's site tours, it's getting out there to the organizations and associations that work with them in order to leverage those relationships. Additionally, we have what we call a top employer program. And what that is, it's started probably about 75, we're currently up to 100 companies that we have collectively identified with DECD that are major employers or signature brands or legacy brands that have strong roots and representation in the state. And these are companies that we want to personally reach out to and have conversations with and meet on an annual basis. And proud to say that in 2023, we personally met with 75%, so 75 of those companies, and continue outreach to those businesses throughout the state. Also, I'll just step back a little bit to let you know sort of what the BRE component for us looked like this past year. And in our visiting of businesses, we met with over 850 both businesses as well as partners. And we identify partners as organizations such as the COG, higher ed institutions, a variety of our sort of partners in the field that work to meet with businesses on a face-to-face basis. In addition to the BRE team, we do have a business attraction team, and many of you have probably met with them within your municipalities. And those are individuals that specialize in certain industries and are responsible both for attracting that industry to the state, as well as working with businesses that are here in those sectors. And that would be advanced manufacturing, Ted Fisher, life sciences, which would be Tim Miller, and Francesco Rosigliano, who focuses on our tech businesses. So I just wanted to let you all know that they are also a resource that we leverage when we meet with businesses. So in your communities, or as you're looking at certain sectors for SEDS or other programming, if we can be of assistance in basic data or sort of a sense of what that industry looks like here in Connecticut, happy to help with that. And I think marketing, again, I had gone into, so I'm going to quickly move on. So this just sort of gives you where we've been in the 3 years in this new version that we have, that we've gotten used to. We are, as mentioned, we started in 2019. 2020 obviously sort of refocused the efforts of the organizations as the state worked to both help businesses recover and respond to what the impact of the pandemic. But during that time, there was a lot of foundation building, and that is where the marketing did intense amount of research on building a platform for Connecticut to share really our quality of life and our key attributes and strengths. And then we have a sort of timeline here. We Peter Denius was our founding CEO. He stepped down in this past fall, and John Bordeaux, who had headed up our business attraction team, assumed the role of president CEO. Kathy Scangarella, who is going to join me today in the presentation, or was planning to join me, has recently been promoted to head up the business attraction across the organization, replacing John. And then I will be now working on the BRE program for Advanced CT. So this is just to give you a sense of our three-year impact and a breakout of our funding, and you can just sort of get a sense of the scale of both the job gains as well as the capital investment that's been related to those projects. One thing I did want to sort of bring to your attention that's very extremely useful for Advanced CT and all of us as partners in economic development is tracking projects that are happening at the municipal level. That is not something that had been done prior to this effort within our marketing staff to really quantify the dollar amount that is being spent on corporate and expansions within the state, as well as the reciprocal headcount. So if you have projects that you want to get included in these totals, we would love to have them. So please feel free to reach out to me with any questions on that. And this is just some recent sort of testimonials on companies that we have worked with, continue to work with to build out their presence in the state. There's the team, which I have mentioned, and again, so this is sort of a overview of the board of directors and the representation that that Advanced CT has from the director level. So in addition, we do have a membership body within the organization that lends expertise and perspective, as well as partnerships in pursuing our mission of advancing the economic development for the state. So I will share that briefly. So with that, I am all set. So I will stop sharing and happy to answer any questions that any of you have.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Lori, I have one question for Lisa, if I could.
Yes, go ahead, Matt.
Thank you. Lisa, thank you for the very informative presentation. I know you do a nice job networking with the economic development professionals that work in our various municipalities. Can you just spend a couple seconds talking about that?
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up. In our attempt to reach out to all of us that are pursuing economic development throughout the state, we have been offering a monthly partnership meeting. We have over 600 participants that we reach out to throughout the state to engage in topics, bring together speakers and presentations that allows us to best do our work. We will be shifting that a little in 2024. We're going to switch to a quarterly format, but our goal is to continue the dialogue with all the economic development professionals that we come across in our day-to-day on these topics. It really had started in during the pandemic as a way to have the commissioner and state agency heads and economic development leaders in the municipalities really address how to respond to the crisis the pandemic presented. The scale and sort of frequency of information probably is not as monthly needed as it has once was. So we are going to shift to a quarterly. In addition, I flood many of your inboxes with weekly emails on events and programs that are happening, primarily focused on both municipal information as well as information to share with small businesses. So we will continue that in the new year. And if anyone is not on that and would like to receive that, just give me you can shoot me an email. I'm L Mercurio, MERCURIO, @advancedct.org, and I'll put it in the chat.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Those forums are very informative. Back to you, Lori.
We'll just move on if nobody else has any questions to Kerma update.
Yeah, so we've got Circa with us today, Mary Buchanan and Nicole Govert, and they're going to talk about a couple of projects they have, or one key project they have underway with CROG, and we've been working with them for some time as well. Welcome, Mary and Nicole.
Thank you, and I am going to, I have some slides too, so I'm going to try to share my screen. There we go. All right, can everyone see that?
Looks great.
Thank you. Okay. So I'm Mary Buchanan. I am one of the community resilience planners at CIRCA, which stands for the Connecticut Institute for Resilience and Climate Adaptation. And I'm joined by my colleague, Nicole Govert, who is the other community resilience planner at CIRCA. And we have been working with CROG to do this year's update of the hazard mitigation plan. And with CIRCA's involvement, we've turned this into a hazard mitigation and climate adaptation plan for this update. So I think the last time we spoke with this group was in the spring. So I'm just going to give you a quick update about what's been going on with this project since then and what to expect coming up next. Here's our agenda. It'll be pretty quick. So I know you've got a packed agenda. All right, so hazard mitigation plans, we do them because of the Disaster Mitigation Act of 2000. So it's been over 20 years of them. They get updated every 5 years. And the goal of these plans are to promote hazard mitigation actions to reduce losses from hazards. So you're not necessarily preventing the hazard. You might still be having a flood, for example, but you're preventing some of the losses from that flood. So some of the benefits to this process, one of which it gets people from the town level, different departments within the town talking about hazard mitigation actions, setting priorities, getting that conversation going. On a more tangible incentive, it also, in order to be, for a municipality to be eligible for FEMA grant programs like the BRIC program and FMA and the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, you need to have a plan that is active and approved by FEMA. So they expire every 5 years. You need to have a new plan update every 5 years. That's what we're doing right now. In addition to those FEMA grant programs, we are also starting to see other grant programs like the new DEEP Climate Resilience Fund ask about what is in your hazard mitigation plan when you go to apply for those grant programs too. So if there's a project that you want to have funded in the near future related to hazard mitigation or climate adaptation, it's important to make sure it is listed in your municipality's annex of the multi-jurisdictional regional plan so that you're set up for applying for those funding opportunities. And this is CROG's fourth plan in the last 20 years. So these are the hazards that are included in this hazard mitigation and climate adaptation plan. This time around, we've organized them by climate driver. So the ones that are related to increasing extreme and severe storms are all together in the plan, changing precipitation, rising temperatures, that sort of thing. We haven't taken out any hazards. So all the ones that were included in your last plan update are still there this time. We have added extreme heat. So that's a new one that wasn't in the last plan update. Earthquakes are not affected by climate change, but they are still included as a hazard within the plan, as they always have been. And as I mentioned, this time around, it is a hazard mitigation and climate adaptation plan. And that is how we've been bringing in CIRCA's involvement. And we've been aligning the hazard mitigation plan update process with CIRCA's Resilient Connecticut program, which is a program that was piloted in the New Haven and Fairfield counties after Hurricane Sandy and has now expanded to the River Cog, Southeastern Cog, and CROG regions as well. So we basically, when we've met with all the towns, we've been asking about the climate change impacts that your municipalities have been experiencing, your concerns and priorities going forward, basically on the lookout for potential climate resilience projects that might need a little more concept design work or scoping in order to be ready to apply for a federal implementation grant. And then Resilient Connecticut program through CIRCA can fund consultants to sort of get you over that gap so that you're ready to apply for a federal grant. So there were seven of those projects that came out of the first pilot area in the New Haven and Fairfield counties. And now we're looking for similar projects in the expanded region, including the CROG region. So by combining that with the hazard mitigation plan update, first of all, there's a lot of overlap between natural hazards and then the climate change impacts that towns are experiencing. And also it means that it's just a more efficient use of everyone's time. We only have to have the one meeting to ask about both. So we found that to be successful. And then our end result is going to be this combined plan. So we have met now with all 38 CROG municipalities between May and November of this year. So thank you to all of your municipal staffs who have taken their time to meet with us. It was incredibly helpful. At these meetings, we asked about climate change impacts that they've been experiencing, any problem areas, such as areas that repeatedly flood every time you get, you know, a day like Monday, what are the areas that are coming up as a problem. We also reviewed all of the actions from the previous plan 5 years ago. So each of the municipal annexes has a table of actions. We went through them and said, you know, what have you done? Sometimes the actions have been completed. Sorry if you can hear my cat in the background who's decided this is the time to play, but she's fine. We've asked about status updates for the previous listed actions, as well as any new actions that you want to add to these tables that have come sort of emerged in the last 5 years. So we have finished all those meetings. We also held two meetings for public input in October. We distributed a story map that had a survey for more public input. And we held two virtual workshops for all of the local coordinators, so someone from each of the towns, to discuss vulnerability and risk assessment. That one was in July. And we went over some of the loss estimates from the various federal sources, estimating losses from natural hazards. And then in October, we also met to discuss mitigation and climate adaptation actions and had a voting exercise where people indicated what their priorities were and how they prefer to have the approaches for dealing with different hazards. So all of that input has been incorporated into the plan. If you were not at those workshops and you would like to see the slides from them, let us know. Our contact information will be at the end of this presentation. We can share those. We've incorporated all that into the draft. There is a multi-jurisdictional document, which is part of the plan that covers the full region, and that has a lot of the loss estimates for the full region. And then each municipality has a annex. So what we need from you at this stage, these annexes were sent out on December 11th. You got an email from Nicole, or your municipality's local coordinator got an email from Nicole, and that person was determined in our town meetings. And then review that annex. Any changes you want to make, you can make them now. It is much harder to make changes after the plan has been approved by FEMA, because at that point, they don't really want to see the text change. So if there are any new actions that you didn't think of when we had the meeting, but now you've thought of them, you want to make sure it's included, let us know. If there's any corrections in the body of the text about, you know, your municipality's capabilities or challenges faced, we can make those changes too. But again, this is the time to make those changes. It's going to be much harder later after it gets through FEMA. So if you can send us those corrections by the first, that would be great. Realistically, there's going to be, you know, some time at the beginning of January where if you don't get to it right by then, we can still make those changes. But we do plan to send the plan in for review later in January. FEMA will usually take a couple months to review it. We're hoping that we will have the plan approved by the summer. And then each municipality can adopt it individually. And we did include a resolution based on your adoptions from 5 years ago in that email with your new annex draft. You don't have to do anything with those resolutions now. We got a couple emails saying, oh, I don't think we can approve the plan by the first. That's fine. You don't have to. But it is just a preview for the summer that's coming up. So just expect revisions now. We'll send to FEMA. It'll take them a couple months. We'll hopefully get approved back by the summer. We'll have adoptions in the summer, and then your current plan expires in the fall. So hopefully everything will be done before that plan expires, and it'll just carry over with no loss in coverage. So here is our contact information, and we can put this in the chat too if that's more helpful. Feel free to let us know if you have any questions, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mary, for the Kerma update, for the Anybody have any questions for Mary?
Laurie, this is Matt. I got a quick follow-up. So Mary and Nicole, thank you very much for your good presentation today. I know the more intense weather we've been experiencing the last couple of years and related FEMA declarations really emphasize the importance of this plan, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And we're also seeing we need that in order to get those declarations in the future, correct?
So the declarations, the disaster declarations, FEMA will do that regardless of the plan. But in order to get the funding, the grant programs to then work on the problem areas that are being sort of highlighted through these disasters, that's when you need the approved plan.
Good clarification. Thank you.
And we are seeing more funding sources like the DCRF as well at the state level. Those are emerging because of the growing impacts that we're seeing and the associated rise in concern about those impacts. But some of those new funding sources, even though they're not FEMA, are still looking at these hazard mitigation plans.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions for Mary? If not, can we move on to staff reports? Matt?
Thank you so much, Lori. Just waiting for Laura to cue this up. She did it very quickly. Thank you, Laura. So first of all, I wanted to welcome everyone who is who's new to the policy board. We're really excited to have you. Congratulations upon your election. And we're looking forward to providing you with an orientation and lunch if you're available. We're going to do that at 11 a.m. on January 24th in advance of the policy board meeting that day. Both meetings will be hybrid. And we're going to open up this orientation to all board members. So perhaps you're in your second term and still learning about CROG because we do a lot. We've got a lot of acronyms. You may be wondering what the TIP is, what's an MPO, et cetera. Really would encourage you to come to this session. And it'd be great to have a few veteran members as well. And we should, so that we can engage in some relationship building there. I also want to congratulate the slate of officers that we just reelected earlier in this meeting. I want to thank them for their service to CROG. Some of them have many years of service to CROG at this point, very talented team, and we're so thrilled to have you. Our legislative committee will be meeting at 1 p.m. tomorrow, and that is chaired by Jason Bauza from East Windsor. We got a good cross-section of the region. And we're working to prepare a legislative agenda. It's primarily focused on the state General Assembly. And we do mention a few federal issues now and then. But anyhow, we'll be meeting tomorrow and we're working to prepare a draft agenda to present to the full board for your review and endorsement on January 24th. The Public Sector Workforce Task Force, some of you may be familiar with this. It's really a grassroots effort that CROG and UConn School of Public Policy and Capital Workforce Partners formed about a year ago. And we're just trying to promote the importance of workforce development in the public sector here in Connecticut, at the state level, at the public school level, and most importantly for our purposes, for local government too. And we're making good progress on a variety of fronts, building code officials in particular. Look forward to making a more extensive presentation to you on this topic at a future point. And want to thank our colleague, Elizabeth Sanderson, for her great work to date on that. I'll save the happy holidays for the end. Next slide, please, Laura. So moving on to some of our federal funding opportunities under the bipartisan infrastructure law and related bills. Want to congratulate the city of Hartford and the towns of Glastonbury, Rocky Hill, and Wethersfield on their recent grants under the Safe Streets for All program. I believe they're joining two other towns. And that's really good progress for our region under this round. And then a couple of other programs want to bring to your attention. First is the RAISE grant program, Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity. There's a good deal of money available nationwide for both planning and capital project grants in the area of surface transportation. So we are hoping to see some good applications coming from our region for that program. The Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities BRIC and flood mitigation programs really relate in many ways to the conversation we just had on the natural hazards mitigation plan. And there's a building code component to this one, as well as an infrastructure component. The Climate Pollution Reductions Grant Program, CPRG, we are working on the plan right now, which is due on March 1st, and implementation grants are due only a month following on April 1st. So we're reaching out to our member towns now to see if you have projects you'd like to include in that implementation grant. And I want to thank Kyle Scheel and other CROG staff for their great work on that to date. Those of you working in smaller towns, you know, sometimes we hear from you, well, what about us? Are we eligible for these opportunities too? And yes, you are. And here are a couple of things we want to highlight for our rural communities related to transportation funding in particular. Next slide, please, Laura. In the area of administration and finance, earlier this week, we launched a foundation funding gap program that we are administering in collaboration with HUD. And this is designed to assist low to moderate income homeowners who are dealing with crumbling foundations. The captive insurance company program we have in effect right now is making excellent progress across our region, but there are certain things it doesn't cover, such as the replacement of a deck or replacement of a driveway in certain instances when the foundation needs to be replaced. That can be a challenge for the homeowner, particularly those who are low to moderate income. So there's $2 million available under this program. Really want to thank Congressman Courtney, who took the lead on this and did a great job with the support of the other members of our congressional delegation. Our Regional Solid Waste Authority, CSWA, you know, there are 13 of CROG's towns are members right now. We're going to look to grow the membership in the coming year. They recently approved a budget for the new fiscal year, and they elected an executive committee. And I want to thank Fred Presley, the town manager from the town of Wethersfield, for agreeing to serve as the CSWA chair in the coming year. Our Human Services Coordinating Council met earlier this week as well to talk about homelessness in our region. And really, we're trying to encourage all 38 of our members to appoint a human services representative to the HSCC. As we know, these issues are impacting all of us. It's not just our larger towns, right? It's impacting each and every CROG community. So we'd really love to see you have a representative on this group. We are continuing to promote our Regional Performance Incentive Program. That's a state grant we've received to provide, to help subsidize the startup of a new regional program. And we received grants in animal control. We're making great progress in animal control. We also received a grant for building inspection and tax assessment. And we're struggling a little bit with those two latter programs, and we're pursuing some leads. But if you're new to the policy board, and you'd like to learn more about the RPIP program, please reach out to Pauline Yoder. Next slide, please. In the area of transportation planning, our staff team at the Transportation Committee recently released a new solicitation for the very popular Local Transportation Capital Improvement Program, or LOTCIP. Could be the most popular grant program we administer here at CROG. And looking forward to reviewing some good projects coming in for LOTCIP funding. We are making progress on the Regional Transportation Safety Plan update that's funded by the Safe Streets for All grant we received last year. And we're working on this in collaboration with the City of New Britain. And I'd like to thank Roger Cron from our team and Rob Eloise and others who are working on this project. In the area of public safety, we administer, those of you who are new, we administer a few very important grant programs that benefit our public safety units, our emergency management units, as well as in the area of public health. We're winding down work on this FY20. That's the federal year, and the federal funding typically lags a little bit. So we're winding down work on this FY20 State Homeland Security Grant Program. We're going to be kicking off work on the FY21 grant shortly. Again, those federal grants will often lag a year or two. And I want to thank Cheryl Assis, our public safety director. We just held a training on our newest regional asset, a modular vehicle barrier system. It's unfortunate that we need this type of equipment, but that's what we need in today's era. And this equipment really is designed to protect crowds and people attending key events from someone looking to do harm or even an accident occurring. Next slide, please. And then lastly, in the area of regional planning and development, we are making really good progress updating our regional plan of conservation and development. Want to thank all of the municipal staff from our various towns that are assisting us with this effort, as well as members from your land use boards who are participating in this. And something I'd like to see us present on in the near future, I think it's a really neat project. We just completed and published online a municipal small business resource center as part of our EDA CARES grant funded projects. And just a couple other things I'd like to add, Lori, that I didn't have in the write up here. Some of you may have seen in the news that Super Pedestrian, which is the operator of our scooter program, and it's primarily serving or pretty much exclusively serving the city of Hartford at this point, although a couple of other Prague communities had expressed an interest in joining. Unfortunately, they are going out of business here in North America, and they're ceasing their operations nationwide by the end of the calendar year. So, you know, in less than 2 weeks. And Prague had conducted the competitive bidding for this program, and we're going to look to do that immediately. So in the January timeframe, we're going to go out to bid to provide another micro-mobility provider here in our region. We will certainly work in collaboration with the city of Hartford and other interested communities throughout that process. The Super Pedestrian program was really, really popular, and we were able to demonstrate that Hartford had a very strong program. And then lastly, I wanted to wish all of you a safe and happy holiday season with your family and your friends. At Krog, we were able to accomplish a great deal in 2023 with your support and with your active involvement, and most importantly, under your leadership, which we truly appreciate. So hope that you have a good holiday season, and wishing you a very happy and prosperous new year as well. That completes my report. Lori, happy to take any quick questions that you or other board members may have.
Thank you, Matt. Matt, are you putting Pauline in charge of the scooter project?
We should. Yeah, she probably had a good share of the rides there. Right, Pauline? Right.
4 to 6 times a week.
You're an expert. Maybe Santa Claus will bring you one.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Does anybody else have any questions for Matt? Matt, I want to thank you so much. And happy holidays to you. If we can move on to number 5, legislative updates. Kathleen?
Yeah, hi, folks. Before, there's very little happening at the law in the legislature. But before I go into it, I just want to say, so I've worked with Prague for probably 20 plus years. I don't know how many of you on this board remember Lou Rome. I know some of you worked with him, but he brought me in 20 plus years ago to a Prague meeting, and I've been working with you ever since. But I am ready to retire. And it is kind of bittersweet. You know, there are lots of things I'm going to miss. And working with you folks and your issues will clearly be one of the things I will absolutely miss. But leaving you in good hands. John Harkins, he's the vice president with us, is on the phone. He's actually in his car on the way to Indiana to celebrate Christmas with his daughters, but he will be working with you. And Chris Smith, who is the S in RSLK, was planning on being on, but he is sick with what is surely sounding like COVID. And I will pass on all of their information to you folks. And again, I cannot thank you enough. It's been great working with you all. And I'm sure I'll probably see you somewhere here and there around Hartford.
Thank you
that
so much.
That is the legislative update.
Thank you, Kathleen, and I wish you well and happiness in your future.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anybody else have anything for Kathleen?
No, I'd just like to add something. This is John Harkin speaking.
Oh, hey, John.
So I am, as soon as this meeting is over, I'm getting in my car and driving to Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So I held up for this meeting, but you know, it's a pleasure to work with all of you. And of course, Matt Hart does such a great job, and I get to see him at the LOB at ACIR meetings and other legislative affairs. But I'm looking forward to working with you. And I know Chris Smith is also very excited about working with Craig in this upcoming legislative session. So thanks for the opportunity, and we'll see you at the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay.
Lori, this is Matt. I'd like to add a couple comments here if I could.
Yes, sure.
I'd also like to thank Kathy for her lengthy and tremendous service to CROG. Kathy, it's been a great pleasure and an honor working with you. I appreciate you're always available 24/7, can reach you, and really hope you enjoy the next chapter. And I know if we have any legacy questions, we'll be able to reach out and ask.
I'm changing my phone number.
Okay, excellent. Well, hopefully we can get you one last time at our legislative committee meeting tomorrow. And
yes,
really, really looking forward to working with John and Chris as well. So all the best to you.
Thank you.
Lori, I did want to let you know that we've got one federal office online. We've got Aaron McBride from Senator Murphy's office here. Aaron, if you just want to say hello, and I think Aaron plans to attend on a regular basis, and then under the legislative item on our agenda, she can talk about the work of their office as well. So Aaron, if you just want to briefly say hello, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Hi, everyone. Yes, my name is Aaron McBride, and I am Senator Murphy's outreach assistant for the 2nd Congressional District. So I have the 64 towns that are in the 2nd District, rather known as Congressman Courtney's Congressional District. I'm happy to come to these meetings. I have a lot of the towns that are in this COG, but also just to report on behalf of our office and the work that Senator Murphy is doing in general. You guys should be getting a pretty thorough end of year report from us in the coming weeks, detailing all the work and legislation that Senator Murphy has pushed through this year on behalf of residents in Connecticut. And I'll also make sure that I always send you guys any federal funding opportunities. And when the time comes to in the coming new year, congressional directed spending, our appropriations process. So I want to make sure our team is accessible and open for you guys to reach out to. And I'll put my email in the chat in case anyone ever wants to connect. Excited to be here. And thanks for having me, Matt.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. Back to you, Lori.
Okay, correspondence. Do we have anything, Matt?
Just a couple of items, or excuse me, just one item in particular wanted to note here. So I talked earlier in staff reports about the Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Program. So here is the letter that Kyle put together and sent to all of you and your staff team in particular. So we're really looking for your input, particularly on that implementation grant, which is due on April 1. And please feel free to reach out to Kyle or to me with any questions you may have. But really excited about the potential here. We understand that the timeframe is very short, but we're going to work hard to prepare a good, solid application from our region. And just as a reminder, this is for the larger MSA. So a number of Rivercog towns to the south of us along I-91 in particular are also participating in this grant. And thank you, Kyle, for your great work today. And that's it under correspondence, Lori.
Okay, moving on to other business. If anybody has anything else?
Nothing else from staff.
Okay, and the last one is adjournment. I have a motion, please.
Don't move.
Second, Steve Stefano.
Okay, thank you, Steve. So we have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Very good. Happy holidays to all of you and a happy new year. Thank you.
Happy holidays. Thanks.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy new year.
Great job, Art.
Thank you.